Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today begins three Sundays in a row with some pretty fancy names. Septuagesima is not a word that we usually use in our common language. It is a Latin word, and it means 70th. And that is because we stand about 70 days before Easter. We begin our journey as God's people, our journey to the foot of a cross and an empty tomb. As such, as we begin this journey, we begin our packing away. Today, the song of Alleluia is no longer on our lips. When we hit Ash Wednesday, we will also be putting away the Gloria in Excelsis. Glory be to God on high. The last 2 weeks of Lent, we will put away the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. But on that day, on the day of the feast of the resurrection of our Lord, we can no longer contain our songs of joy. For on that day, as we celebrate our Savior who has conquered death for himself and on our behalf, then all of those songs will be restored, and we will sing them once again with joy. 70 days, that we might remember the 70 years spent in Babylonian captivity. God's people were held captive because they grumbled and they disobeyed God. Our Old Testament lesson today is another great example of the way that God's people usually do things. God's people had been in bondage, slavery, in Egypt. While originally they were there that God might deliver them out of famine, for he planted Joseph there, he worked against the evil of his brothers for his good, that his brothers might be saved from famine. But eventually that Pharaoh died. A new Pharaoh and a new Pharaoh and a new Pharaoh were in place, and they didn't remember Joseph. They didn't remember why these people, who did weird things other than our religion, were among their people. And so they enslaved them, and they made them work hard. And so God's people cried out to the Lord for deliverance. They cried out for his help, and the Lord heard. He calls Moses through a burning bush, and he says, "Go, I will be with you. You will be my mouthpiece." God calls Moses to be his voice to the people. He would send Moses. Moses would demand to Pharaoh that he let the people go. But Moses had a hard job. A task given to him to work in a man's heart that was hard. Pharaoh rejected that message as he rejected the true God. He said, "I will not let the people go. In fact, because you're so lazy and you clearly have nothing better to do, I'm going to make your work harder." And that's what he did. And so what did God's people do? They grumbled. They said, "Moses, why are you here? We never asked for your help." Of course, they had. But Moses was there by God's direction. God had placed Moses exactly where he needed to be at that time to help God's people, whether they knew they needed it or not. God would deliver his people by the hand of Moses. They would cross the Red Sea on dry land and watch as everyone else was drowned. Every Israelite makes it across without drowning, and everyone in pursuit drowns. And so God's people sing a beautiful song, a song of rejoicing to the Lord for his deliverance. This is Exodus chapter 15, and it's a hymn that we still have today, the song of Moses and Israel. They sing this beautiful song of his deliverance. But then what do? They complain. The water isn't to their liking. They complain that they have no food. And so what does God do? He sends them food from heaven. He gives them manna to eat. and they would have a restless relationship with this food. At times they would receive it, and at other times they would grumble, calling it worthless bread. God's people grumbled. In chapter 17, then, just after he had given them manna, they complained because they said there was no water for them to drink. Why would God bring us out here just to die again? They complain about God to Moses. Moses didn't make his own rules. Rather, he was a mouthpiece for the Most High God. But it's much easier to complain about him than it is recognizing who you're actually frustrated with. Oftentimes that frustration is with God himself, but it's easier to take it out on the man. Do we submit ourselves to the will of the Lord, or do we do the same thing? Moses begins to fear for his life, and he cries out to God. He says, "These people are ready to stone me." This people. Have you ever had an issue with a child doing something wrong and you turn to your spouse and say, "Your son did this"? Oftentimes, God and Moses would have those conversations. God would get so frustrated with his people time after time that he threatened to wipe them completely out. And Moses said, "No, Lord, no, let it not be so." And the Lord heard Moses' prayer. God's people grumble. The Old Testament is written for our benefit, that we might learn from their mistakes. Don't we know that God is with them? That the Lord delivered them out of that bondage? That he sent food from heaven? And now he's going to send them living water? God commanded Moses to take his staff and strike the rock, and that rock produced living water for the people. That rock produced them everything that they needed. God's people saw 10 plagues fall on the Egyptians. God's people watched as water stood so that they could walk across. And what do they say? They said, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Pillar of cloud, smoke. God was certainly with his people. But it was easier to complain. It was easier to do that than to take on the hardships. To recognize that God has won for us salvation. But that does not mean that this life is going to be easy. Is the Lord among us or not? They saw, they heard, and yet they said this. In just a few chapters, they would watch as God met with Moses on the mountain, as God would deliver to them his commands, including the 10. First and foremost, you shall have no other gods. And what are God's people doing during that time? They're having God's priest make for them a golden image, a golden calf that they might worship. God's people of Old Testament are written that we might learn. God's people had him, and they had to believe. You see, we have something more sure than they had. They had not seen the Messiah. Yes, they had been promised that he would come. Yes, they had been told that he would do everything on their behalf, that he would save them from their sins, that he would deliver them from the devil. But we have something more sure, because that Redeemer has already come. Our faith is in that Messiah, the one who was nailed to a tree for our transgressions. God's people haven't changed a whole lot, unfortunately. We still grumble when things don't go our way. We still grumble because it's easier to do than to roll up our sleeves with our brothers and sisters in Christ and say, "What must we do for one another?" That is what God calls his children to do. To go through this life together, not apart, not separated. God's people, many of them ended up rejecting the very Messiah who was to come. in our epistle lesson, which builds off of that Old Testament lesson, St. Paul writes this. He says, "They all drank from the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." They didn't realize it, but Jesus was with them, not in his body as he was 2,000 years ago and still is today, but he followed them. He delivered them. He is the bread from heaven that feeds them. He is the living water that nourishes them. And yet St. Paul says, "But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." For 40 years, the people who rejected God as the true God, for 40 years, those who would rather grumble and want things their own way than follow the will of God, died off. And they were buried in that desert instead of making it to the promised land. They rejected their God even though he was with them. It's easy for us to say today, boy, if only we were around at the time of Jesus, then we would believe. If only the people around us could see his miracles and his signs, then they would all flock to church. Is that actually how it was in the scriptures? When Jesus walked on this earth, he did many signs and wonders. They saw him, and yet they rejected him. They said, "This is too hard for us to comprehend. This is too hard for us to believe. We want it our own way. We don't want a Messiah who will overthrow these things eternally for us. We want a Messiah who will overthrow this Roman government right now." He's not exactly what they wanted, and they rejected him for it. We are body and soul. We are to exercise our bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't think that our faith is something that's simply easy. We are not called to live the same life as those outside of that message. We are not called to live the same way as those who reject his word or have not heard it. We are called to be a bright light and example to others. Who cares if someone calls you weird because you'd rather be in church than sleeping? Who cares that you have gathered here today, even though you might have a party to go to later this afternoon to watch the halftime show? Or whatever you're going to watch during that time. You are exactly where you need to be. You are exactly where God has called you to be. Right here, with these people. These are the people that matter most. These are your brothers and sisters. These are the people that you are going to sing his praises here and now. These are the same people that you will sing praises with in heaven. Lord willing, we will make it there. Rejecting him comes with a cost of eternal life. Your souls also need to go through exercise. It is much easier to sleep in on Sunday morning than it is to come here to church. It is much easier to simply grab the food than it is to stop and pray. It is much easier to send children away thinking that they're going to get everything that they need rather than doing the hard part and teaching them the faith in the home. All those things are harder. And yet they are necessary. But we're not in it alone. We don't do it by ourselves or even for ourselves. We do it with the blessing of Christ. This is all given to us by grace. I don't earn salvation. You don't earn salvation. We have not done anything to earn God's love. And yet, here we are. In our gospel lesson, Jesus reminds us of that grace, of that gift. Because it's not a great business model, and that's not why it's in the Bible, to simply pay everyone the exact same amount, whether they worked 12 hours or one. But the concept here is not a business model. The concept is the grace that leads to salvation. God gives that grace to the person who was baptized as a small infant and has stayed faithful to the church. Just as he gives to those who have walked apart from his will, those who have rejected him early in their life, God is with them as well. God calls people to himself, and we should rejoice. We should rejoice when an unbeliever confesses his sins. We should rejoice when those who are unrepentant repent and return. We should rejoice when the person who has heard the gospel for the first time weeps for joy of God's mercy. Consider this. There was a man named Saul, a man who thought he was doing the will of God, who would round up Christians to have them put to death. God would use that man. He would convert him to write many letters to the church here on earth. He would change his name to Paul, and he would use him to convert many to the church. Paul was a man who did not deserve the grace of God. Paul was a man who sent many Christians to their deathbeds. And yet, when he reached heaven, even the saints that he had put to death rejoiced at his presence. They'll rejoice at ours too. The sins that we held on to must melt away. They must fall away. They must be confessed. We must live in this world, but not be part of it. This culture is not our culture. Our culture belongs to the Lord. Our lives belong to the Lord. Our family belongs to the Lord. This church family belongs to Him. Roll up your sleeves. Work with one another. Work for one another. Knowing that God has freed you from working for your own salvation. Knowing that Jesus Christ has done it all on our behalf. For your sins were nailed to a tree. He washes you. He gives you His living water in the font. And He feeds you with His own body and blood, won for you on the cross. Rejoice in this, dear church. Rejoice in this, dear children. The church sings. Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.